We're back. Hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into yet another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nessler. Welcome and happy First Friday. Well, here we go again. Let's see. Wendy Wasserstein wrote her first play, Uncommon Women and Others, in the late 1970s when she and her generation were living the complicated promise of the second wave of feminists. It's the story of five 1970s college women from Mount Holyoke College who attend a reunion 5 years after their college graduation. This award-winning play receives a local revival at the New Space Theater at CMC in Spring Valley, courtesy of the Sopris Theater Company. And here to tell us about it are Joanna Caldwell. Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Susie Brady is here, too. Hi,
Hello.
Susie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hadley Hebert is here, too.
Hello.
Hi, Hadley. And also with us, Ciara Morrison.
Hi there.
So, opening night tonight.
It's opening night.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
More excited.
Nervous.
More excited than nervous?
I'm more nervous than excited.
Well, I don't see great circles of sweat under your armpits or anything.
Yet. I'm keeping my arms down. So.
Who wants to tackle this question? What is this play about?
Good go, Ciara.
This play, Uncommon Women and Others, is about the relationships between women friends in college and women friends and women who are put in a close space together, and how they connect and how they problem solve and how they relate, and how they learn from each other and sometimes choose to distance themselves from each other. So it's about some really amazing characters and their relationships.
Hmm. And I think the most important thing is that there's different perspectives in this play, because it is the time when careers were opening up for women and birth control was available. It's the second wave feminism, you know, and there's this air of expectation around everybody. And there's these very different personalities who are sort of taking on the expectation that they can do absolutely anything with their lives. And there's some who know exactly what that means, and there's some who know exactly what that doesn't mean, but they don't know quite what they're going to do.
Huh. Because they're not old enough? They haven't experienced enough of the world? Is that why?
I mean, yeah. Or maybe just because, I mean, Rita in particular is who I'm talking about. It's my character. And she knows that she doesn't want to work a 9-to-5. She knows that she doesn't want to get married. But she doesn't know really what that leaves for her. She knows she wants to write a novel about it all. But I don't know what she's going to put in that novel, you know?
Hmm. I think that there's a challenge in that vast amount of options. You know, like there's so much that you can do. How do you narrow it down to what you want to do specifically? And I think that's, you know, some things that these characters have to consider, you know.
So the scene is a reunion after they've graduated. Are they still tight as friends?
I mean, yeah, because when they first get there, there's sort of this hesitation that goes into it. And everybody's sort of antsy because they haven't seen each other. And everybody was expecting to do amazing things with their lives and expected to do amazing things with their lives. But then once they get into that room and they just start talking about old times, it just sort of falls back into place. And they all, you know, are great friends still.
So I guess the play is full of flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. The entire play is a flashback.
The entire play.
Pretty much.
Well, that's kind of, I guess, par for the course for a play written in the 1970s, but how does that get handled on stage? How do you deal with that? How is that?
I think that the play is written very clearly, and that we have had very clear direction from our director Brad Moore. So it never gets confusing or complicated. You just know what you're doing and. So it's very easy to deal with those two different time periods that are in the setting.
Because the reunion is happening at a restaurant, so it's the first and the last scene. And it's the only time you see the set with the one long table.
Okay.
You know, and then we have like some cardigans and some jackets that we take off. And then the rest of the play, the middle, the meat, is all their senior year at college. So that's the primary, you know, plot. And then the rest of it, just the opening and closing, is you just sort of see these girls reflect.
Huh. Joanna, maybe you could tell me a little about your character. We've heard a little about Susie's character, Rita. Who are you playing, and what is her character like?
So I'm playing Samantha Stewart, and the interesting thing about my character is she knows exactly what she wants the entire time. You know, so she's able to go about, you know, the entire play with a sense of confidence and just, you know, I mean, she doesn't doubt herself once. And I think that the rest of the girls kind of have to go through different levels of, is this what I want? Am I doing the right thing? And I, you know, my character gets to know the whole time that she knows, you know, that she is doing what she wants.
So she knows what she wants, but has she gotten it yet?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it happened pretty quickly for her.
Yeah. She knows what she wants and she gets it, you know.
Can you say the same about the other characters in the play?
Some of them. Uh-huh. I mean, it's, you know, it represents, there's like levels of that, you know. So it's, you know, there are people that don't exactly have what they want, but are striving for it. And then there are people that have what they want and have had what they want. And then everything in between.
Hmm. Hadley, tell me about your character.
My character, her name is Carter. She is a freshman amongst all these seniors. And she is just this quiet little introvert weirdo who just sits and stares off into space and likes being in her own little world, which has been a very big challenge for me trying to figure out what's going on in her mind. But she is one of those characters who does know what she wants. Mm-hmm. It may not be the most conventional thing, but she goes after it, and in the end, she gets it.
Huh. How about that? How did you say that was a challenge? Tell me about how you met that challenge. How did you achieve that?
I pretty much just listed out a lot of her qualities and try to think of what her background is, what her story was, of why she's like this, why is she this quiet little genius, what's going through her mind, and try to put a kind of like a face to the name and try to put a personality to all these words that I'm saying.
Huh. Interesting. Ciara, tell me about your character.
My character is named Susie Friend, and she is kind of a self-appointed leader. She's in many clubs and organizations, and she always makes announcements to the group and lets them know what's going on. She's involved in a lot, and it's fun for the girls, the other girls, to have someone like that to kind of pick on, to kind of kind of laugh at, but also laugh with. I think that they have a lot of fun with Susie Friend when she makes them sing these silly songs or do these silly things. So she has a lot of fun, and she tries her best to take care of Carter, the freshman, and let her in on what's going on and how she should act and all these little rules that we have. So she tries to take care of Carter, and she just wants to really have a true college experience where she's in all of the clubs and all the activities and does well in school and also has fun on the weekend.
So your character was that way when she was in college. Is she that way 5 years later too?
Yes, she is that way 5 years later, though the audience does not see her. My character does not attend the reunion.
Oh, I see. Why is that?
I think she's busy on a very important committee meeting or with her family or one of the other many activities she's doing.
So these girls have spent a lot of time together and they're friends. Is there room for jealousy or?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, really? Yeah. Tell me more.
Well, two of the girls who aren't here today have a very interesting relationship. There's two characters called Leela and Kate. And Kate is an aspiring lawyer. And Leela is sort of following along in the, what's the department they're in together?
Philosophy.
The philosophy department. Yep. And, you know, but she's very insecure because she doesn't, people haven't told her that she's as beautiful or as smart as Kate, and people are always, you know, sort of elevating Kate above her, and she's always, she feels as if she's always being compared to Kate directly. So she also does not, does not attend the reunion because she's gone off on a completely different adventure, and she's taken her life into her own hands, and she, you know, she moves on after college and does something adventurous. So,
huh. All of you shook your heads when I said that. I'd like to know more about that dynamic between the girls.
I think that there are aspects of the girls. I think each character sees the other characters having aspects that they want, you know, but not necessarily acting on those because it doesn't fit the person that they're trying to be, you know. And so it's not all of it is just this insane jealousy, but I do think that there are moments everyone has where, you know, they like to be a little bit more like Rita, or they, you know, they want to be more like Carter or Susie, or, you know.
Right. So Holly wants to be more like Kate or Rita. Muffet says that she wishes that she could be more like Samantha, and she doesn't understand why the same opportunities that happen for Samantha don't happen for her. So all these girls are, they just spend so much time together and know the ins and outs of each other's lives that they can't help but compare and contrast and wish that they had some of the traits of the other girls.
Mm-hmm. But I think it comes from more of a place of admiration than jealousy in most cases.
Because they're friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've always been friends.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
They're all seniors together. Yeah. So.
What about humor? Is there any humor in this place?
There is tons.
So much.
Really?
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Really?
It's very funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? How so?
I get to curse a lot.
Nice. Yeah.
It's very funny. There are just some lines that you, that take you by surprise and are just so funny and so witty. And we all sit backstage and we just wish that we could be watching the show. We were like, man, we hear lots of laughter and we're like, oh, I wonder what happened. I wish we could see it because it's such a fun show.
The show is definitely full of witty one-liners and
really?
Just scenes that, you know, you wouldn't expect in this kind of play. You come into this play thinking, oh, this is a preppy college full of, you know, good, nice girls. And then it just goes out of control.
Huh.
Yeah, you are let into a world that many of us don't know a lot about. I think that we all maybe have, when you hear of Seven Sister Schools, Mount Holyoke, you have a certain impression, and we are let into the inner lives that are so much more interesting and funny than you could imagine. And so it's just been a real treat to dive into this play and get to know more about what really goes on.
Huh. Okay, so this is set in the 1970s, so that means what? Bell bottoms, no bras. Is that pretty much right?
Not quite. Maybe if we were not at Mount Holyoke College.
It's oh, really?
Pantyhose and Mary Janes.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay.
You have to wear a skirt to tea.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And huh. We have an event called Gracious Living, which is like a dinner that teaches you how to act graciously and have manners and right,
be a
yes,
lady
what
of society.
Well, that sounds like a little bit antithetical to feminism. No? So is the feminism sort of an antidote to that in the play?
Well, I think the feminist viewpoint on the show is mostly brought on by the girls, not necessarily by the school in general, because the school does try to instill a type of confidence and the ability for women to get out into the workforce. And a lot of the girls are willing to go out there and, you know, fight and claw their way to the top.
Oh, go. And their senior year, there's actually a line where Mrs. Plum, their house mother, she's retiring that same year that they're graduating, and there's been a student vote to abolish gracious living. So this is actually the last year, their senior year is the last year that gracious living will be a thing at Mount Holyoke. So it does show that transition.
Is Mount Holyoke an all-girls school?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Are there any men in this play?
There aren't any men, but Mount Holyoke, years after this play takes place, it was actually the first Seven Sister school to accept transgender women, but it's still an all-women school.
Oh, interesting. Huh. So that's interesting. Well, we have a new arrival. Please introduce yourself and tell me about your character.
Hi, my name is Christina Capelli, and I play Leela, who is at this school with all these ladies in her last year. She's a senior. And Leela is, she just needs to get out. She needs to leave. She's done with this place. It's like a big itchy sweater that's on her that she just needs to throw to the ground and leave behind her. That includes the place, the school, the people, everything. And it's in pursuit of her dreams to some extent, but also just I feel like she knows who she is, but the place that she's in won't allow her to be that. So she has to leave, but she's here for that year. So, you know, it's winter and she has to keep her sweater on, but she knows spring is coming. And so she has to abide her time somehow with these people in this place. And this kind of paints that and how that happens. And then she's out of there.
Huh.
And goes and lives her life, not necessarily in any particular feminist way, but also very much in a feminist way, because she just does exactly what it is that she wants to do.
What do you mean in a feminist way? What
so
does that mean?
She doesn't necessarily push against the society in any direct way. I don't know if you've talked about Rita's character.
A little.
Yes, in that sense. So she's not vocal about anything. She doesn't vocalize pushing against the system. Nothing like that. But she embodies second wave feminism very much in the way that she just goes out and does exactly what she wants to do. And she just is the person that she wants to be, uninhibited by whatever.
And that's one thing we really talked about as this play went on. It was sort of what feminism means and who can be a feminist. And I think that anybody who believes in gender equality can be a feminist, and anybody who goes out and does whatever they want to with their lives is a feminist.
All five of you ladies look like you're probably in your 20s, so I guess mm-hmm. that makes you what, a fourth wave feminist?
I think
is there such a thing? Third?
Yeah.
Did you have trouble understanding the second wave feminists, those ones in the 70s? Or did you find something shatteringly great and different or new about that?
Yeah, go for it.
I really admire them. And I've become a lot more grateful over the course of doing this play, because the opportunities that we've always had and we sort of almost are inclined to take advantage of were the opportunities that were pioneered by the women in the 70s and 60s before that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I found myself really surprised that this was in the 70s, 72 really, so right at the edge of the 60s. I had never imagined that all the same questions that I had asked myself throughout my life had been on the table at this point in time. I mean, really, this play could be done now, minus, you know, gracious living and things like that. I mean, the struggles that they go through, the conversations that they have, it's just real. It's just their lives. And that's how I've felt very much in my life.
Hmm. What do your mothers have to say about you guys in this play? I'm curious.
My mother is coming to see the show tonight, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say, but I know that she's very excited for it.
Uh-huh.
And she's very excited to see an all-female cast in a play in the Valley, because it's pretty rare to have an all-female cast, or even a cast with mostly women. It's kind of rare, so it's a really cool opportunity, a really fun event that's unique.
Huh.
And Rita makes a lot of references to Germaine Greer, who was a pioneer of the feminist movement. And my mother has always been a huge fan of her. So I just think it's funny that that's written into the script.
And what about some of the others, like Betty Friedan or Gloria Steinem? Or
the feminine mystique is mentioned.
Right.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is yeah. it? What do you guys, what can you tell me about the author, the playwright, Wendy Wasserstein?
An interesting fact about this show is that Wendy dedicated this show to her two brothers, which I just think is a fun, interesting fact that kind of makes you think. And I find it very sweet because I have three older brothers.
Huh. And I find that it really supports the narrative of this is the lifestyle story. This is just a lifting of the curtain. This is what goes on when women are with each other and talking to each other. And so for as someone who also has two older brothers, I know they saw one side of it, right, going through it. And so this is the other side. And I feel like this is just a communication. This is a sharing of that other side. Huh.
Is it still that way in your generation? I mean, do you girls still get together and commiserate? And
absolutely.
Yes.
There's just certain things you can't talk about with guys around.
like what? Tell me.
I have absolutely found myself like talking to one of my castmates, one of these girls, and having a conversation about, you know, my personal life, my academics, my family, and just thinking, oh my gosh, that is something that it could be written into this play. That's absolutely an experience that these other girls have too. And I kind of find myself being like, wow, am I in this play or what? It's so interesting how similar the conversations are and the feelings.
Wow. Even 40 years later.
Yeah.
Huh. I guess that's an important point to take. What will an audience take away from seeing your production of this play? Men or women?
Well, they'll laugh. There's that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, I don't know that we really get to be the judges of that, but
good answer.
I mean, like, I think it's great, and I hope other
what
people
would
think
you
it is.
Go ahead.
I think at the very least, I hope a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, what would you like to see them
right.
go with?
Yeah.
So that's it, huh? Is that because, despite the fact they might have professional or personal challenges, at base they're all friends and they love each other?
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Huh. It really, there's a lot of importance on lifelong friends right. of the same gender, because there's just certain things that, you know, something very platonic and innocent about mm-hmm. somebody that you grew up with and somebody that knows a lot about your own history, you know, because siblings are always going to be your best key to your past, but siblings aren't going to follow you to college or, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it really speaks to a lot of different stages of your life. And so anyone who just enjoys that, I mean, I know that I can relate to a lot of the characters and have been in a lot of different, a lot of those places. And so as you watch, you just find that, I don't know, nostalgia, but also that memory. That's what I found.
Mm-hmm. Has it occurred to you ladies that you yourselves are making memories with a group of women, and 5 years from now, you're going to have a reunion and you're going to go, where are you at? What's going on?
Yes, luckily we have realized that, and we just have so much fun together. This is an incredible place to go every night. You know, whatever happens during the day, we come to rehearsal at night, and we are a group of artists working together on a project, and we just support each other so much.
Yeah, that alone is so wonderful. Everybody in this cast is so incredible, and it's just been an amazing experience being with all of them. Like, it is, I don't know that any show I do after this will ever top it, because this is my first one, and I feel like,
wow,
you know, like everybody here is just so incredible.
You just gave me goosebumps. Nice.
And I think the other really cool thing about it is our house mother, Mrs. Plum, is actually played by our dean of students and our vice president of the school, Heather Expey. Uh-huh. And it's just been such a blast to see her outside of a professional environment and sort of being able to carry on a different relationship with her. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so special.
Huh. Just one of the girls.
Yeah. She's so much fun. She's great.
Huh. Well, you have... set what, 8 or 9 performances scheduled over the next couple weekends? 7. Couple matinees in there, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all at the CMC Spring Valley, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. New Space Theater. How can people get tickets?
They can go online to Eventbrite and just search Uncommon Women and Others. We're the only show that will come up for that, so that's really easy. You can also email svticketsales@coloradomtm.edu. Or you can call our box office, 970-947-8000. 8177. And if we don't answer, you can just leave a message and we'll take care of you.
Well, ladies, what a great joy it was to have you in here. Thank you so much for enlightening my afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And break a leg.
Thank you.
All right. Stay with us. There is more to come on Today's Express Yourself.